Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
This episode of Catitude is brought to you by Meow Greens. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to meowgreens.com and use promo code Catitude.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So we're getting near spring break, summer, you know, is coming. And what do you do when you have cats and you want to travel? Finding a sitter is hard. I mean, it's really hard if you have cats. And then there's one school of thought that says, do you need a sitter? I don't know. I kind of think you do. But my guest today is an expert in pet sitting, especially with cats. So I cannot wait to introduce you to her. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Beth Stoltz-Hairston. She is the president of Pet Sitters International. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited to have you on. Can you share what is Pet Sitters International and then tell us a little about your background?
Yes, Pet Sitters International is an educational association for pet sitting and dog walking business owners. We were founded by Patty Moran in 1994. She was the author of a book called Pet Sitting for Profit. And so she developed the association to help more people turn their passion for pets into a career. I've been with the association for a little more than 20 years now. So I've had the pleasure of working with pet sitters for more than two decades.
Wow, that's extensive. Now, do you yourself have pets?
I do have pets. I have three dogs and three cats.
Oh, full house.
Full house, definitely.
So, you know, we're going to get into pet sitting and all those questions, but I'm just curious, what do you do when you need a pet sitter?
Fortunately, I know all the right questions to ask, but I use a professional pet sitter that is local to my area when I do have to travel either for work, if I don't have family members that will be at home, or if we travel for a family vacation, if there are times when we can't take our pets. As our pet family has grown, that's not as possible anymore. So I do use a pet sitter.
Well, we're going to find out what to do because, you know, more and more of us are becoming pet parents. And, you know, for cat parents, it's even more challenging as far as finding a sitter because, I don't know, it just seems to be. So let's talk about cat parents. So what are some of the challenges that cat parents can expect to find when they're searching for a pet sitter?
You know, I often hear from cat parents and they're nervous about finding just the right care for their cat. The good news is that it's not nearly as challenging as it was maybe 10 years ago. So there are more professional pet sitters available than ever before. And something funny that I think will be interesting for your audience is that a lot of times when we think about pet sitting, we think about pet sitting for dogs or dog walking companies. But actually, when we surveyed PSI members who are all professional pet sitting business owners, more pet sitters offer cat care services than dog care services. So most of our pet sitters care for a variety of pets, but actually cats were the winner. 97% of our members offer cat services compared to 93% who offer dog services.
So why do you think that is? I mean, it's harder to travel with your cat, that's for sure.
It definitely can be that. What we've found and what I've really been excited about as the industry has grown in recent years is that we are finding some pet sitters who specialize. So those who have a real passion for cats have realized they can have cats-only businesses. We also have found that for some businesses and some pet sitters, as their schedules change or their business model changes, there's more flexibility often when offering cat care services. And so we're seeing pet care professionals embrace offering cat care even more than they did in the past.
Okay, so you brought up something interesting because, you know, some of us have only had cats that in my listening audience, some of us have had, you know, cats and dogs. And it might be interesting to know, like, the difference. I mean, there's obviously differences. You walk a dog outside, cats you don't need to. But how does it differ from finding a pet sitter for a dog? Because, you know, some people have schools of thought that, well, you know, my cats are sign of self-reliance, so it's I don't have to search as hard to find a cat pet sitter. Then you have the other extreme where my cats are finicky and they get nervous. They're extremely concerned about finding the exact right fit, almost to where they are a little neurotic about it. I'm talking about myself because I have cats, one's nervous, one's a diva. If I don't get the right person, you know, what if the person gets scratched and so forth? So what are some of the challenges with us cat owners, cat parents?
I love that you described two camps of people, and that is the same thing that we hear from our pet sitters. So you have those who are maybe what you described as finicky, but I can tell you that pet sitters love those passionate cat parents who have specific details, who want their cats to have the very best care, who want enrichment, who don't see it as just coming in to clean a litter box or refresh the food. And so I found, even in talking to pet parents who contact me to learn more about finding a pet sitter, that a lot of times it is the cat parents who have the highest standards. And we love to see that. We really do their work to make sure that they're choosing a pet care provider that is a good match for them and their cats. But on the other side of that, to something you mentioned, is that, and we don't get this as much as we did in the past, which I'm really happy about, but we used to hear from pet sitters who would often hear from potential clients who would say, it's just a cat. Can you come every other day or every, you know, maybe third day? Because my cat doesn't really need someone to come in every day while I'm out of town. And that's just not true. But we see the trend changing in that. And so we're not seeing those requests as much anymore. And cat parents are appreciating the importance of professional care and also those daily visits.
What would you say to those pet parents that think, well, I'm just gone for the weekend, the litter box is clean, I have a water fountain, and I have a timer. Do I really need a sitter? And they're gone for maybe 3 days, 4 days.
Such a good question, and one that I love to answer. And when we get that question, there are normally two examples that I give that we've seen happen more than once. Again, some, depending on your cat, and you know your cat's personality type, maybe they would not appreciate as much interaction from a stranger. So you think they've got the food, they've got the water, they're good. But anything can happen in your absence. And so we've heard from situations where pet sitters have arrived to the client's home and realized right away that the cat was in distress. We've heard of situations where the pet sitter arrived to realize that the cat had a urethral blockage. And had they waited another day to visit, or had the pet parents been gone for the weekend and no one was there, the cat would not have survived. So those daily visits, even if you think, you know, they may not need the extra attention, can really save them from a potential medical emergency. And so that's one consideration. The other thing I remind cat parents is that when you're gone, anything can happen. And our cats often can act different in our absence. And so we've also had situations where pet sitters have arrived to the home and they realize, wait, there's water in the floor. And the cat, maybe just, you know, nervous about the owner's absence, the cat had gotten behind the washing machine and dryer and some cords had come loose and water was pouring into the floor.
Oh my gosh.
And so that could have been a major home damages had someone not been coming every day. And so we want to protect the cat's safety, but also think about things that could go wrong in the home. And having someone come every day can really prevent those issues.
So I have another twist for you. What about those that say, well, I have a camera, a couple of pet cameras in the house or cat cameras in the house. Isn't that enough?
We hear about cameras, and more pet parents and people in general have cameras, and they can be very handy. But especially if you are out of town, it would be very difficult if you don't have an emergency contact lined up for someone to get to your home in time. And also, cameras do not catch everything. So while they do add an extra level of security and protection,
That is so true, because I've had people say to me, well, you know, I have cat cameras. I have like five, one in every room. Isn't that enough? But you're right. They don't catch every single thing.
And what if there was a power outage and then the cameras are not working? Technology is great, but it's not perfect. And so we really want that human touch when it comes to caring for our animals.
So, okay, I'm going away. I have my three cats. What should I look for when I'm hiring a pet sitter?
There are several things to look for, but I'll hit on just a few of the important things. The first thing I advise someone when they ask me about looking for a pet sitter is that it is important to use a professional. And while it's easy to ask, you know, the teenager down the street or maybe a friend or family member, having someone who does this professionally, they're trained, they're educated, it's, you know, their profession really gives you this extra peace of mind. But there are some things you want to be sure to ask. We'd recommend that before you select a pet sitter, before you go out of town, you should have an initial consultation with that pet sitter. A lot of pet sitters call it a meet and greet, but they come to your home to meet you and your cat before you book their services.
Is that a fee or it depends?
It depends. A lot of pets, for many pet sitters, that meet and greet is complimentary. There are some pet sitters we speak with who have a fee, but then that's applied to your first booking. So it's most often free, but the policy could vary depending on the business.
Okay. What else should we look for?
So when you meet them, that gives you a chance to see if they're a good fit. We say, you know, just as some people are cat people or dog people, there are going to be just some pet sitters that maybe just seem like a better fit for your family. But you also want to ask about some important business credentials. Do they have insurance for their business? That's one of the top questions you want to ask. Any pet sitter you use should have pet sitter insurance. You want to also see if they're using a contract. There should be a contract between the two of you that outlines the services they will provide.
Regarding insurance, is that the same as being bonded?
Bonded is actually different. So that's a great question. And we find a lot of people don't know the difference because they normally don't need to. So insurance, specifically pet sitter insurance, is going to cover anything that could happen to your pet or in your home due to the pet sitter's actions. Bonding, on the other hand, relates to theft. So if someone were to steal from your home, that's when bonding would come into play.
Now, is it common for a pet sitter to have both?
It is. When we recommend the pet sitters have both, a lot of pet sitters will say to us, well, I know I would never steal from a client. Do I need to be bonded? And they're not going to steal from their clients. But we say it does still give the pet parent just that extra level of security and protection and peace of mind. So we do recommend that pet sitters be both insured and bonded.
Okay. Oh, those are great tips because I'm not sure I knew the difference. What else is important?
You also want to ask any pet sitter about their training and their education and then any specific needs that your pet has. So are they trained in pet first aid? What is their cat care experience? If your pet needs any type of medication or needs some type of specialized care, do they have experience in that? And so those questions about their education and their training will not only help you get a better idea of how dedicated and professional they are for this career, but also make sure that they can handle your pet's special needs.
Those are some great responses. We're going to take a short break and we're going to be right back. Hey guys, Michelle Fern here. Is your cat slowing down or having health issues? Do you wonder, what can I do to make him feel better? Well, Meow Greens added to your cat's food for 90 days will show amazing results. Guaranteed. Invented by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, Meow Greens wants to invite you to give your cat the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. I couldn't believe the changes I saw in Dennis. In the first 30 days, you should see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system and improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients you've added to their diet. At day 90, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you just might have reduced their cancer risk. For a free, yes, I said free, jumpstart trial bag for your cat today, go to roughgreens.com and just use the promo code CATITUDE. That's RUFFGreens.com. And use the promo code CATITUDE. You just cover shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a scoop of Meow Greens.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Beth, who is the president of Pet Sitters International, and we're learning a great deal about what the cat parent should do with, you know, hiring a pet sitter, what to look for, and so forth. So, Beth, one of the challenges I have that it kind of unnerves me, and I don't know if I watch too much crime drama, listen to too many crime podcasts or what, but one of the things that makes me nervous is someone coming into my home. Not that they'll steal, but always I think in the back of my mind, I think, well, it might happen, or that something will be damaged or something like that. So it's nice learning about being bonded and pet sitter's insurance. But do you have any percentages or something? I know I'm not alone. I know a lot of our listeners are probably thinking, yeah, that's what bothers me. If I don't have family close by and I haven't used a professional service before, I'm a little nervous to use one because they're coming in my home and I don't know this person. I mean, you have the meet and greet, but still, are you sure?
And that's a common fear. So you are definitely not alone. There are, of course, some other precautions you can take. We recommend that pet sitters show you proof of a background check for them or any of their, if they have a team of sitters, anyone that's coming into your home should be background checked. Also, ask for references. Look at their online reviews. Those are going to be things that give you that extra peace of mind as well. So if you've been able, if you know the pets are insured and bonded, they're background checked, you've checked out their references or read their online reviews, and then you've been able to meet them in person, that's going to give you that extra sense of peace. And we completely understand having someone come into your home and having them, entrusting them with your furry family member, that's a huge responsibility. And pet sitters really do appreciate the trust that their clients place in them.
How do professional pet sitters feel when there are non-professional pet sitters that cause, you know, issues? Because, you know, the non-professionals giving professional pet sitters a bad name.
I can tell you, in speaking with thousands of professional pet sitters, also with PSI being a professional pet sitting organization, our top priority is promoting quality care for pets. And so when you do hear stories of individuals who maybe just want to make some extra cash pet sitting, but they're not trained and they're not qualified, or they maybe don't take this seriously, our primary concern is that pets are at risk. And then also because we're still working, the industry is still very new. We're still working to educate pet parents about what it means to be a professional. And we know it's easy to not understand that maybe they find someone on an app online and think, oh, this must be a good pet sitter, but they don't know the questions to ask. There's certainly, you can look at any, you know, do a Google search and you'll find stories of pet sitters who have quote unquote pet sitters who have not offered great care. And that's harmful to the industry at large. And so pet sitters, as well as Pet Sitters International, really work to educate pet parents about what to look for and why it's so important to look for these things to make sure that your cat does get the best care.
Okay, thank you. What should we expect as cat parents? What should we expect a cat pet sitter to do in general? So what are expectations, and what should we expect in case of an emergency? Let's go with what should we expect them to do in general. I thought sometimes litter box might be out of the question, but you mentioned that earlier, so I guess that's okay.
Yeah, so when we think of the typical cat sitting visit, that's going to include the basic tasks that you would think of for your cat's care. So of feeding, refreshing the water, cleaning the litter box, and then any other special needs that your pet may have. So if your pet needs medication, the medication administration will be included in the pet sitting visit. But also pet sitters are really great about customizing the visit based on your cat's needs and your preferences. So while they're going to do the basics, of course, like I said, feeding, water, cleaning the litter box, if there are special requests that you have and those can fit within the time frame of the visit, those can happen too. I hear from pet sitters who say, you know, I'm able to, you know, clean the litter box and feed the cat within 15 minutes. But my client says, hey, for the remaining 15 to 20 minutes, could you just sit on the couch, have the television on, so the cat has the feeling like I'm still there, they're not alone. So there are lots of things the visit can include depending on your preferences.
Thank you for that. Is there generally a time limit or things that we should not expect? I like the idea of the TV, spending some time with them. And I know that in the past, I've asked my sitters to let my cats out on the catio. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, because sometimes it's hard to get them back in the house.
As far as the length of the visit, most pet sitters have standard visit times that they offer, 30 minutes is the average time for the typical pet sitting visit, but there are also pet sitters that offer extended visits or multiple visits per day. So that would depend on the cat parent's preferences and what their cats need. But 30 minutes would be a standard visit time, but certainly longer visits are available.
Okay. And before we get to the emergency question, you mentioned something interesting. You said multiple times a day. Is it the norm for cat sitters to come once a day or twice a day?
At this time, there's not a specific industry norm. I could tell you up until recent years, though, we typically would find that for cat visits, and the best practice for the industry is they have to be visited at least once per day. And that did tend to be the standard for a long time. But what we are hearing now for pet sitters, and I don't have percentages on this, but I'm hearing from a lot of our members that they're finding here in the last few years that they're having more and more clients request more than one visit per day for their cat because they want them to have more interaction, human interaction and enrichment.
Yes, and my cats eat twice a day. I don't know what's the norm, but I'm so used to them eating twice a day. So definitely I'd want my sitter to come twice a day.
And that's what pet sitters are there to do. They want to keep, that's one of the advantages of pet sitting is that your pet is able to stay on his normal routine as closely as possible. And so if your cat's on that feeding schedule, that's definitely a scenario where two visits a day would be needed.
Okay. And here's the question. Here's something that I think every pet parent fears. What should we expect in case of emergency?
That's a great question. I'm a prepare for the worst case scenario person, so I understand that concern. There are a lot of things. We always say that pet sitters expect the unexpected and be prepared for anything. And so there are a lot of things they do in advance to make sure they're prepared should any emergency happen. So first, in addition to having a contract that outlines your services, a pet sitter will have you fill out a pet profile sheet to get more information about your cat. Its preferences, its likes, its dislikes, if it can have treats, et cetera. But on that pet profile sheet, they're also going to ask some situations about if there's an emergency, what should we do? So who the veterinarian is, if there's a veterinary emergency and that veterinarian is not available, is there an alternate veterinarian or an emergency veterinarian? Also, they ask for a local emergency contact. So if for some reason you're not accessible, if they can't get in touch with you, who is a local person that you authorize them to reach out to in the event of an emergency? And so getting that information, making sure it's correct and up to date is really important. And then also, you'll likely have your pet sitter ask you about a vet authorization. And what this is a form that you can complete in advance so that you let your veterinarian know that you'll be out of town and that there's a pet sitter that has permission to bring your cat in to the vet if needed.
Okay. And what is that called?
A vet authorization form.
Vet authorization. Okay. How could I have not heard of this? I've not heard of that before. That is just excellent.
To give you another example of pet sitters really being prepared for anything that could happen, another form you may not have heard of this is called an emergency guardianship form. And we provide that to PSI members to use in their businesses. But that's a form that says in the very unlikely event that the pet parent is not able to return home, who do they contact to take temporary ownership of the cat until the final decision can be made? And so there are lots of scenarios that, while unlikely, pet sitters want to be prepared for.
That's great. I mean, it makes me think of, unfortunately, COVID, when people were stuck places for months. You know, I mean, you never know. You could be stuck and I think most of the time you might be delayed only a few days, especially for, you know, weather situations, travel situations. But that is a great idea. Thank you for all that great information. Now, let's go to the side of the pet parent. What is the pet parent expected to have available for the pet sitter?
That's great. We love a pet parent that is prepared. And so I mentioned earlier the pet profile sheet. We do encourage pet parents to give that full information to pet sitters in advance so they can be prepared to offer the best care. And then prior to the visit, just make sure the pet supplies, the food, the litter, that those are readily available, that you have enough to last while you're gone, and that they're in a location that the pet sitter can easily find them. And so just have that stuff prepared makes a big difference. And then also just some small consideration things. If, for example, depending on the time that you may be leaving to go out of town, if your cat sitter's first visit will be at night, make sure you leave an outside light on so they're not having to approach your home in the dark.
That's a good idea, too. So, Beth, are there any suggestions to make the cat pet parent and the cat more comfortable using a pet sitter? I think, you know, with everything you've talked about, I can see the cat parent being from, you know, being unnerved to maybe being a little more calm about the situation. What about the cat? Or maybe both?
Sure. Now, one suggestion I would give for the cat parent, if you're still feeling nervous about leaving your cat, communicate that to your pet sitter and talk to them. And this is something that can be discussed at that initial consultation I mentioned, but talk to them about the expected frequency of communication. So there are some pet parents who say, no need to contact me unless there's an emergency or something I need to know about. But other cat parents will say, I would really feel much better if you're able to send me a daily text update with a photo of my cat and a quick update. So be upfront about your communication style. Ask the pet sitter how they communicate while you're out of town. And that'll give you some extra peace of mind as well, because you'll know what to expect. The other advice I give pet parents is don't be embarrassed to ask anything. Pet sitters have heard it all. Some of my favorite stories, I've had pet parents tell the pet sitter that they really think their cat has a favorite TV show. So that could they make sure that TV show was turned on? Or there was a client who asked a pet sitter that her cat really liked this particular song while she ate. And, you know, asked the pet sitter, could you sing this song? Heard it all. And so don't feel embarrassed to ask, because pet sitter's priority is making sure that you're comfortable and that your cat is comfortable. Now, they may not have the best singing voice, but if you ask it, they could accommodate that request. So feel free to ask and really be upfront about your pet's preferences and any concerns you may have.
I think us cat parents are really quirky, which is a good thing. That's what I find overall.
Absolutely.
That's a new one. Sing. My cats eat well, so, but I think if I sang, they would stop eating because I don't sing. I have a very, not a good singing voice. Let's talk about Pet Sitters International. How does that help people to become pet sitters? Because that's another side that of what pet sitters do.
Absolutely. So that is actually the primary purpose of Pet Sitters International. We were established as an educational organization to help a professional pet sitting business owners start and grow their businesses. And so our main focus is education, but also business credentials. And so we work with our members to get them access to insurance that's specifically for pet sitters, like I mentioned earlier. We work with background check providers, but then we also really focus on the educational resources. So we have online classes, members have a pre-online training each month, and we really dive deep into pet care topics, pet care, pet safety, also the safety of the pet sitter, ways to operate their business. And so we're there to walk alongside pet sitters at every stage of their business to make sure that not only are they able to make a career out of pet sitting, but also to ensure they stay up to date and current to offer the best possible pet care.
Okay. And what can pet parents find on Pet Sitters International, which is at petsit.com?
So on petsit.com, we also have a pet sitter locator. And so pet parents can use that as free of charge to search by their zip code and find PSI members who are in their area. We also have articles on our website about choosing a pet sitter, things to look for. And if they go to our locator page, which is petsit.com/locate, we actually offer a downloadable pet sitter interview checklist. And we recommend every pet parent use that as a guide, and it tells you the specific questions you can ask of any potential pet sitter that you're considering.
Okay, great. Well, I feel much more informed after speaking with you. I hope my listening audience does as well. This has been wonderful information. You know, pet sitting for your cats, and we've talked about travel and all that, but there are other reasons you need a pet sitter. So before I was a cat pet parent and had a puppy, I had a pet sitter because I was working some days. I had crazy hours. You know, I was gone maybe 10, 12 hours, which is way too long for a puppy. So what are some other reasons where people might need a pet sitter, just so they can think about this if this should happen and be, you know, relieved and not concerned about that particular situation?
You know, when we think about pet sitting, a lot of times the main reasons are we think I'm traveling for work or I'm on vacation and I'll be out of town. I need a pet sitter, which is true. But there are so many other scenarios where pet sitting services can really come in handy. If you're working long hours, like you mentioned, or for those who maybe have a puppy that needs more frequent breaks that they can't provide because of their work schedule, that's a great time to use a pet sitter. Also, people that perhaps if they are have an emergency situation, they're hospitalized and they would need to secure the services of a pet sitter to help them with pet care in that situation. But also just even smaller incidents, we hear people who say, you know, I'm not going out of town, but I'm going to be gone from my house a little longer than normal. Maybe I'm at a sporting tournament with my child, or I'm going to a concert. Now I'm going to be gone several hours, and you can use a pet sitter then as well. So it doesn't have to be only when you're out of town.
What about a situation where someone, unfortunately, you know, broke a leg or couldn't get around as well and needed extended services? Is that something that can be available? Like instead of just the short term, 1 week, 2 week, they might need someone to come in for a month because it's going to be impossible for them to do the litter, or if they have a dog, you know, walk the dog.
That's a great example for situations like that where a temporary injury or ailment means they need a little more help. We also have that situation in more extended time periods. A lot of times we have pet sitters who work a lot in retirement communities where people will need daily dog walking indefinitely because they're able to take care of their basic pet care needs, but maybe walking the dog for an extended period of time is not something they're physically able to do anymore because of age or injury. And so those scenarios, the pet sitting services can be really valuable as well.
Okay. Wow. Great information. Okay, Beth, you've been so informative and I appreciate it so much. One last question. What is a good range for people to expect for a cat pet sitter? Let's go with daily because I know some might have a certain price if there's more than so many days. I don't know if they discount the price because it's the same place and it's easier to go multiple days to one location. But what is the range of cost for a pet sitter for cats?
Sure, that's a great question. Now, we do always like to give the caveat that the rate for pet sitting can certainly vary quite dramatically depending on where you live, what part of the country you're in. But PSI does a survey every 2 years to get national averages. And so I can tell you that for a basic pet care visit, which would include a basic cat sitting visit, that's around 30 minutes. The national average for that is $25.49. And so that's the average. Again, depending on where you live, you could see that a little higher or a little lower. But in the $25 range is the typical rate for a 30-minute visit.
Okay, and that's for once a day, right?
Yes, that'll be for one visit. So most pet sitters, again, there are some businesses that structure this differently, but most pet sitting services charge per visit.
Okay, did they ever give a rate that's discounted if it's several days and many visits?
That does depend on the pet sitting business and what their policies are. But certainly there are some that have package deals depending on the frequency of your visits or the duration of the pet sitting visit. And so that's an option that you can certainly ask any pet sitter you're considering about.
Okay, thank you. So where can people go to find more information, Beth?
For anyone who wants more information about becoming a pet sitter or finding a pet sitter, Pet Sitters International's website is petsit.com. And then we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Beth, I want to thank you so much again for coming on Catitude. I greatly appreciate your insight and wisdom with pet sitters for our cats. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. Beth was so informative, and I hope all of you feel much more relaxed about going about finding a pet sitter for your cat. So I want to thank Beth again for coming on Catitude. Thanks to my cat crew, Molly, Charlotte, and Dennis, for, hey, being the great cats you are. Thanks to everybody listening to Catitude. I appreciate your listenership so much. Thanks, of course, to the magic. Seriously, he's magical. Of Mark Winter. And let's give a little pre-happy birthday. His birthday is coming soon. So happy birthday, Mark. I would sing to you, but you know I can't. Thank you so much, Mark, for the magic you do in making our shows sound amazing. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.